Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Hey there. Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, and bear with me a second here. I'm trying to be able to tell whether or not I can hear anything. We were trying to check out my headsets just before we came on the air, and I had nothing. I couldn't hear a thing. And then just before it went live, it exploded in my ear. And I still got a lot of volume. I got to wait for my ears to stop ringing after that one. That was pretty good. But one of the exciting things about live radio. There we are. That's good right there, I guess. So, all right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. I almost said thanks for listening, but we're not at that point yet. It's one of those nights, I guess. But I hope you had a great Thanksgiving this past week. And, you know, I feel like the Thanksgiving turkey now, well stuffed, and still eating Thanksgiving leftovers before I came up here tonight after church. I had a little leftover turkey, and we ate up the mashed potatoes finally. So my wife fixed a couple of baked potatoes, so had that, but still had some leftover turkey gravy and all that fun stuff. And that's one of the fun things I think about Thanksgiving. In addition to enjoying the day and enjoying company and family and friends and food and thanking God for his many blessings, it's just nice to enjoy the leftovers. And, you know, for the next several days, you don't have to go out of your way preparing big meals because you got plenty of stuff in the refrigerator. And it's kind of nice. So, anyway, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. And if you're out there on the roads tonight, it's cooling down. It was 39 degrees when I came in the studio this evening. And I guess the temperatures here in northeastern Ohio are supposed to be dropping. They've got weather warnings out, things like that. And tell you what, if it drops, it's kind of rainy out there, and some spots more so than others. But if it was to drop suddenly and see some of that start turning to ice, it could get a little slippery out there in the road. So if you're out tonight, keep a good hand on your wheel. I guess it's supposed to be windy in some spots as well. I didn't experience much in the way of wind coming into the station tonight, but it was rainy and it was cool, and the temperature was steadily dropping all evening. So if you're out tonight driving around, keep an eye on the weather and stay safe. And if you're in, stay nice and warm, and hopefully you'll stay tuned. We'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220 The Word, and I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. We've got a special program lined up. We've got a special guest coming on at 11 o'clock, and we'll be talking more about that. But our good friend Michael Goldstein, many of you know him. He's a former Navy intelligence officer, attorney, and he used to be here in the Northeast Ohio, now living in Arizona. He'll be calling in, and we are going to be talking about what's happening in Israel, some of the latest developments, and with the ceasefire, the release of some of the hostages, and also, I think we might be looking at some of the things that are going on with attacks against U.S. military forces in the region as well, and some other things that are going on that may not be being mentioned by the news as much. So I hope you'll stay tuned for that. If you can't stay up till midnight or till 11 o'clock listening, we will have these things online this week. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can certainly find out more about me and also about our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is the primary sponsor of our program. And it's also my home church. It's where I am the pastor. And you can find out more. Just go to livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there. You can listen to some other things. We got some other materials that are there. We've also got some articles there that you can go to and look at. And then there's a link also to the church website, all at liveatpastoral.com. You can find out more about our church. We'll have more of that information coming up later in the program, certainly in our breaks and everything. We have some information about the church. And as always, if you're here in northeastern Ohio and you are looking for a church that preaches and teaches the Word of God, we preach and teach from the King James Bible. We have reasons for that. We touch on those reasons every once in a while here on the radio and at church. We have good reasons for that. We're where we believe it is the right version that we ought to be using, not just because it's our preference, but because we believe that it is clearly God's Word preserved for us in the English language. And so it is the inspired and inerrant Word of God. So we invite you to come out and visit us sometime. Well, there's a lot more we could talk about, but right now I do want to have a word of prayer. And we'll get into a few things here. We've got some callers already lined up, but if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. I do pray that you would bless the program this evening. Use it for your glory, Lord. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody tonight. And Lord, again, the things that we talk about, Lord, that we could lift up and glorify Christ through it, that we can point people that are searching to Christ, that we can encourage believers in their walk with you. And in all things, we just pray that we glorify Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, as I said, this is Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got several people lined up for us tonight. And so I think we're going to take John Brown first. John Brown's calling in with an update on Drag Queen Story Hour protest here in the local area. John Brown, are you with us there tonight?
Yes, I am, Pastor. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine. Good to have you with us tonight. One of those cases where, you know, I've got different people that I talk to sometimes. I say, well, I really hate to have to talk to you because it means, like, bad news or something. And so, in a sense, I hate to talk to you because it means there's something going on that we don't want to see happening.
So, yeah, it's probably a lot like an auto mechanic, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to see him, but you have to.
Well, I wish it was. I wish our nation's problem were as trivial as going to the mechanic. But thank you for having me on again, Pastor. And for those who haven't heard, the groomers at the Near West Theater in West Cleveland are hosting their quarterly grooming session. And with God's help, Lord willing, we plan to be out there 2 weeks from now, Saturday, December 9th. That's Saturday the 9th. But the important thing to know is that it's much later in the day this time. Their show is from about 3 to 5 p.m. We should be in place by about 2 o'clock. Last time they started earlier just to throw us off and they mocked us for it. So, we'll show them. We'll show up early. They have changed it later in the day to coincide with the, quote, snow day on Detroit Shoreway, which is some sort of community. Presumably, I guess it used to be called Wintertide, and it was an actual family-friendly thing. But now they've made it completely bro-gay and everything. And so there's going to be other events nearby. In fact, the LGBT Center is having a Queer the Halls craft show or whatever, across the street. So even if we're there early before the show starts, that event starts at 2, so we'll have an audience either way. So again, that's Saturday, December 9th. Please be in place by 2 o'clock at the Near West Theater. That is 6702 Detroit Avenue, Cleveland, Ohio 44102. I'll give that address again here in a little bit. But this is the Near West Theater. We are having a local bunch of local Christians. Several groups, actually. We're hoping to have some new people who've contacted me, said they planning on showing up. any of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are willing to come and have a peaceful, peaceful, nonviolent, completely lawful gospel demonstration and protest, gospel witness against them. We're not going to block their entrance. We're not going to try to physically prevent them from entering. Just a witness, on the corner there by the theater with our gospel signs. And, usually we take a pocket full of tracts and we actually do have a chance to witness to some people. And usually we have some good interactions with just random passersby.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a crying shame that this kind of thing happens in this country all the time. And there's no, where are the people of God who want to stand against it and say, no, this is wrong. No, you're going to answer to God for corrupting your children like this. This is wrong. We have a duty to warn them. In the book of Ezekiel, God says, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house. And Pastor, I don't know about you, but I read the book of Ezekiel and I see a nation, an apostate, rebellious nation has spurned God's law and mocked his blessings, very similar to, this nation here. So I think a lot of Ezekiel is applicable to us today. And
yes,
we have a duty to warn them, whether they will hear, whether they will forbear. The Bible says God will require their blood at our hands. We'll have to answer if we don't do our duty to warn them. All we can do is warn. We can't compel them. So, again, this is Saturday, December 9th, outside of the Near West Theater at 6702 Detroit Avenue, Cleveland, Ohio. Pastor, if I could give my Telegram group link so people can come up, can get more information. Really, the only thing you need that for is if we have to cancel for some reason. We plan on going rain or shine. Obviously, if it's a torrential downpour or a really miserable ice storm to where it's seriously dangerous to travel, then we'll have to reconsider. But, I'd say bring an umbrella, bring a raincoat. Our signs are waterproofed. So, they're going to have their show regardless. So I think we should be there regardless.
Well, and certainly people can be in prayer even if they can't be there themselves. Certainly people can be prayer because, you need God's protection and strength when you do something like this. So I appreciate you calling and letting us know about it.
Yes. So our Telegram link is t.me/OCA1729. t.me/OCA1729, and I don't have the information up there. I will have it, Lord willing, here in a few minutes. Again, we're talking December 9th, 2 weeks from now on Saturday, around 2 p.m. at the Near West Theater. We're going to have a gospel witness Christian protest against a drag queen story hour. As Pastor just mentioned, please pray. Whether you can come or not, please pray for safety. Pray that the police continue to do a commendable job in keeping order and protecting our rights of free speech. They've done a very good job last time. Please pray that we continue to have that spirit of liberty and we don't have any physical problems with anyone. Please pray that God would protect our people from satanic attack both before and after the events. So this can go off, can go on without any hindrance. But Pastor, I don't want to take up too much of your time tonight. I know you have a lot of other callers, and thank you for letting me announce this, and Lord willing, we'll see some of your listeners out there as we have before.
Well, thank you, and I know people will be praying as well. So appreciate it, John Brown, and keep up the good work there. So thank you very much. All right. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673, and we've got Cheryl calling in next, so we're going to get Cheryl up and on with us tonight. Cheryl, welcome
Hi,
to the program.
Al.
Welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. I have a question about mass killings. And my understanding is that the Holocaust is mm-hmm. really different from mass killings in other instances, like, Russia and Cambodia and whatever, and that it's different because the Jews are God's chosen people. And I hear people lately making the interpretation that it really isn't different. It's, you know, that there are a number of mass killings, but it really isn't different from the Holocaust. And I wonder if you'd talk about that.
Sure, that's an interesting subject when you think about it, because obviously I can remember when I was going through middle school, we had some videos that were taken during, not videos, they were films that were taken during the liberation of some of the concentration camps during World War II. And not that I went to middle school during World War II. I was in the 1970s. So it's really hard to believe. It was only about 30 years after the war. And they actually had a film that the Nazis had kept themselves. And I remember we were exposed to that in middle school, seeing some of the stuff and you know, looking at it and you're seeing the things that are going on. And of course, to be sure, there are other groups that have been killed and subjected to genocide. I was thinking, was it the Turks during World War One with the, I think it was the Armenians, I believe it was, and certainly Pol Pot in Cambodia and the Khmer Rouge wiping out, I think it was about a quarter of the population. Anybody that wore glasses, anybody had a university degree, anybody that had a professional job, they were just killed. And you would see just mountains of bones and skulls and things like that that they kept, you know, piled up almost as trophies. And then, of course, you had Mao Zedong, leader in you know, the Communist Revolution in China, and the millions that he killed of his own countrymen as they took over China. And then when they had the Cultural Revolution going through the 60s, and then think of somebody like Stalin and the millions that he killed in Russia and the old Soviet Union, and especially think of the starvation in Ukraine during the 1920s, I believe it was, where they were starving them into submission. It reminds me of when I was in the Air Force in the 1980s when they were having the food drives, Band-Aid and things like that around Christmas time to support the starving masses in Ethiopia. And what most people didn't realize is that the starvation was caused by the Ethiopian communist government that was trying to enforce their rule on the countryside, and they were starving the population into submission. And just, we could go on and on. So I guess you could ask then, what makes the Holocaust, the purposeful targeting, genocidal targeting of the Jewish people in Europe by the Nazis, different than all these others? And I think my answer to that would be, in a sense, twofold, okay? Twofold in that the Jewish people have a special place in God's heart. Now, I understand, of course, that they need Christ as their Savior, and that's why I'm not Jewish. I'm a Christian. You know, the Apostle Paul was a Jewish rabbi zealous in stamping out what he thought was heresy until he realized that Jesus indeed was the Messiah, and he embraced Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, as his Messiah, and then he began promoting the very thing that he once called heresy and became one of the greatest proponents of Christianity the world has ever seen. And so there is something, though, about the Jewish people. In Deuteronomy chapter, let me go to another one here. In Psalm 17, I think, is the one I want to look at here. Let me just flip through here real quick here. In Psalm 17, and verse number 8, let's take a look at this one here, where the psalmist David is saying in Psalm 17, verse 8, "Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings." And then he continues, "From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about." And he says, "Keep me as the apple of the eye." And the apple of the eye is an interesting expression that we find in the scriptures periodically, and it's an expression that means something that we hold very dear. And so David was talking to God, keep me as the apple of the eye, saying he wanted to be held in God's eye as something, someone that God loved and wanted to protect and cherish. And that brings me over to Zechariah chapter 2 in verse 8, which we can then apply this not just merely to King David, but to the Jewish nation, where in Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent unto me, or sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you," and the you he's talking about there, is the Jewish people. And so he says, the nations which spoil the Jewish people, "For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye." And so Zechariah is recording here the word of God, Jehovah God, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts." And it's saying that Israel, the Jewish people, are something that's deeply cherished and valued by God. It's the apple of his eye. So there's one reason right there where the Holocaust is something that as Christians we ought to have a great deal of awareness of, it because the Jewish people are the apple of his eye. He describes them that way. They're cherished by him. They're valued by him. God has a special place and purpose for them, which leads me to my second reason. The Jewish people need to be here in the world today in order that Bible prophecy can be fulfilled leading up to the return of Christ and the setting up of his kingdom on this earth. And what I mean by that is the Jewish people have to be here, not totally destroyed. They have to be brought back into the land, which they have been and are being. Jews, because of the troubles in Israel right now, many Jews from around the world are streaming into Israel like never before, and many left-wing Jews that have almost been anti-nation of Israel have turned around, and they're embracing the nation of Israel, and they're streaming in and all. And so you've got Jews being gathered into the nation where the Jewish people have been ever since, well, for about over 3,000 years. They've been there for over 3,000 years, a continual presence of Jewish people in the land. And they are to be there when the Lord Jesus comes back. And even before that, they are to be there and they are to rebuild their temple in Jerusalem. And they are to reinstitute the temple worship in Jerusalem because the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is going to go into that rebuilt temple and he's going to present himself as if he is the Messiah, as if he is God. And that's also the point that in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 13, where it talks about the image of the beast being constructed by the false prophet, and then people being made to worship that image, and then to receive the mark of the beast. And this is all going to be about the midpoint of the tribulation period, 3.5 years into it. And so that is all contingent also on there being a temple and a Jewish nation there. And of course, this also is the fulfillment of Daniel chapter 9's prophecy of 70 weeks of years. 69 weeks of years have been fulfilled. We're in a parenthetical time known as the age or dispensation of grace. A lot of people refer to it as the church age. And when that ends, when the believers are caught up out of the world, the born-again Christians, and an event we call the rapture, catching away the believers, then that 70th week will begin, and that's the 7 years of tribulation period. So with all of that, we need a Jewish presence in the land. We need a Jewish nation there where Israel is today. We need a Jewish temple to be rebuilt there on the Temple Mount, and we need the Jewish sacrifices to take place because the Antichrist, according to Daniel chapter 9, is going to cause the oblations and sacrifices to cease, and that, I believe, is going to be at the point when he declares himself to be God. So I think the devil makes a special attack on the Jewish people because, as I said, either they're the apple of God's eye, so he knows that it hurts God when he sees the Jewish people hurt and degraded and run down and hated and killed and all these sorts of things that have happened to him over the years. He also is attempting to keep these things from happening and destroy the Jewish people so that there will be or so that God will be unable to fulfill his promises and complete his prophecies. And so the devil's trying to do that. So I think this is what, for Christians, the Holocaust is of special concern and special importance, that we understand it, because we understand on twofold level, it is the activity of Satan that we need to be aware of, attacking what God loves and trying to prevent God's work from being fulfilled, God's promises from taking place. So I think those are two good reasons why the Holocaust stands above these other killings, mass killings of other groups of people. When Hitler killed the gypsies en masse in Europe, it didn't have the impact on Bible prophecy that the attempt to kill off the Jewish people did. See, that's kind of what I'm getting at. So does that help understand what we're talking about?
Oh, it does. I think, you know, it gives more rationale to just, not that it's just, you know, that they're God's chosen people. I mean, those are many other things. And so thank you for that. And the other kind of part of that is, you know, the Jewish people were hidden, you know, in you know, other people's houses and et cetera, et cetera. And do you think, you know, that we should be thinking about, you know, doing something similar, trying to, you know, have the Jews who are particularly targeted right now and persecuted, you know, come into our homes to be protected? You know, like they were in Germany
In the United States, I don't know that it's as big a deal in the United States. There may be some parts of the world. There may be some parts of the world where Jews might have to take Christians in and hide them, because Christians are being very much attacked. The media doesn't really carry many of the stories about the attacks on Christians, but you know, as those in Israel constantly remind us, you know, they're coming for us, the Saturday people, meaning the Jewish people, and then when they finish with us, they're coming for the Sunday people, meaning the Christians. And we see anti-Christian attacks surging. We know that anti-Semitic attacks have surged astronomically. It's unbelievable. Last year they had surged in record numbers. I think it was some 30-some%, 39%, whatever it was, which was like some of the highest increases that they've ever seen. And this year it was on track surging again. And then, of course, after October 7th, they have just exploded, you know, and to the point where we're actually, we've seen over a 400% increase in Jewish attacks, which is unprecedented. It's absolutely unprecedented. And so I do believe that for Christians, being aware of the Holocaust, being aware of the persecution of the Jewish people, being aware of how they're targeted is instrumental for us. One thing, another thing I didn't really mention is the Jewish people are kind of I want to say a timepiece or something, but an early warning. Maybe that's a better thing for us as Christians to know what God is getting ready to do. And I know we're coming up on the break here, but when we see the persecution increasing on the Jewish people, that I believe is another indication that the time for our departure is drawing nigh. So hopefully that helps you out there a bit tonight, Cheryl.
It sure does. Thank you so much, Pastor Al.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate the call tonight, and I hope everybody stays tuned. We got another hour and a half to go. We're going to take a short break here. We'll be right back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to have you give us a call tonight. You can call us at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. We've got a couple callers lined up yet, been busy tonight, and we've also got a special guest who's going to be joining us here at in the 11 o'clock hour, and that, of course, is our good friend Michael Goldstein, and Michael Goldstein's a retired U.S. Navy intelligence officer, and he also serves as a general counsel and Arizona director for Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, and we will be talking with him about the latest on the war in Israel, and he's got a lot of contacts there, and we'll be talking about some of the things going on with the ceasefire, recent attacks on U.S. forces in the theater, and some other things we'll probably get into while we're talking. That'll be at 11 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. And if you want somebody to invite somebody in to listen there you think would be interested, let them know about our program. And then looking ahead to next week, just want to let you know, I am hoping next week to have another guest. Some of you are familiar with Claire Lopez, and she is a former CIA agent, and she is an expert on the Middle East, and we are hoping to have her next week on, not sure yet whether it'll be the 10 o'clock hour or the 11 o'clock hour, and going to be talking about some of the things that are happening and some of the threat that we have here in the United States. A lot of people forget that what's happening in Israel is not isolated. It's not only Israel. There are things happening in other parts of the world, and most experts say it's not a matter of if, It's a matter of when something more is going to happen here in the United States. And so pray for our country. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for Israel. Pray for the Jewish people, their peace and safety, wherever they may be. And I know God will bless you for that. So we'll be talking about that a little bit later on. But in the meantime, we have got Nancy, who's been patiently waiting for us tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Now, before I get to my question, I'm really looking forward to hearing Michael Goldstein. I used to hear him, I used to see him in person, he and his wife, Beverly,
Goldstein,
at the Act for America meetings. And they're just very, very knowledgeable. And one time I heard him on your show. You know who he reminded me of? Bill Federer. I said, is that Bill Federer on Pastor Al's show? He was so knowledgeable.
And, of course, Bill Federer is the guy with the American Minute, a great historical background to our Christian faith in this country.
And then Claire Lopez, I can't remember, I just heard her recently in the last week. It was either on Chris Long's show or George Satori.
She may have been on George Satori. She was also on, and that's the Monday Night Roundtable. She was also on with Bob France on our sister station, 1420, one day last week as well. She's been on some national shows this past week additionally, and so she was speaking in the area.
She is so knowledgeable and amazing. I mean, it was just, so anyhow, I'm going to get to my question.
Yes.
Now, we all know that Jesus was growing inside of Mary, and then Jesus was in the manger, and then growing up, and then he was 12 years old, and he went to the temple. But I know that Jesus is God, and I'm assuming he's everywhere like God. Is there anything in the Bible that says what Jesus was doing while he was growing inside of Mary, and then while he was becoming 12 years old and more knowledgeable? Did they say anything what he was doing simultaneously in the Bible? I know that later on they say he's at the Romans 8:34. He's at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. And then later on in John 14, Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you where I am, where you are. I am also." But I was particularly interested in the time period when Jesus was growing inside of Mary, and then, you know, when he was a little baby and you didn't hear too much about him. Just anything in the Bible about what he was doing then? Was he wasn't judging people yet, was he?
Well, no. In fact, I actually wrote an article back in 2019, actually in January of 2019, and I wrote it in response to a young lady who asked during our Friday night Bible study. The question was, why doesn't the Bible tell us what Jesus did in his teens, okay? Which is similar to what you're asking. And I delved into it, and if you want to read the article, just let people know, if they go to livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, and you can look at some of the articles that I have there, and that takes you over to a link that I have for a page called Pastoral Guidance Suggested, and that I have a number of articles parked there, and as you scroll through that, you can find an article called Jesus, the Silent Years, and I was thinking about that as you were talking, and there's a number of things that the Bible tells us. There's a lot of claims that people make that are basically based on myth and legend and stories and not the Bible at all. One of the stories is that Jesus traveled to India and Tibet, studied with various yogis and mystics and spiritual leaders in that part of the world. Some say he studied with the Essenes, and some say that he even visited Britain with Joseph of Arimathea, or that he studied with mystics in Egypt or the Magi in Parthia, and all sorts of claims are made, but those are not in the Scripture, and the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about what Jesus did between about the ages of 12 and 30, which is kind of what you're asking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there's some indirect things that we can get, and here in, you know, when we read that he was 12, that was in Luke chapter in Luke chapter 2, I believe it is, where it was talking about him being there. And it says that when they left, and this is in Luke chapter 2, let's see here, verse 51, it says that when they left with Mary, he left with Mary and Joseph when he went back to Galilee. It says in Luke 2, verse 51, that Jesus was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. So was subject mm-hmm. unto them means that he was an obedient child during that time frame. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing that we see here is in Luke 2:50 and verse 52, where it says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that he was growing and increasing as he grew into a young man. He was revealing more and more of his wisdom, and people liked him. He was a likable guy. He increased mm-hmm. in favor with God and man. But we also mm-hmm. know that he was a carpenter, so that means that he would have obviously, as an observant Jew, they would have went to the synagogue, and we know that they went to Jerusalem periodically because he was there at 12, but they would have went to the synagogue, and he would have had a basic education. But remember in John chapter 7, when he's preaching and teaching during the feast days, the Feast of Tabernacles, I think it was, they said that they questioned how he knew things, because he didn't have letters, which means he didn't study in any recognized spiritual or religious schools like the rabbis did. But he would have studied the trade of being a carpenter because he was a tradesman. And mm-hmm. as a carpenter, we know that he was an integral part of the community, because carpenters were very important. When you were building a house, you needed the services of the carpenter. When you were furnishing mm-hmm. your house, you needed the services of the carpenter. When you were repairing your house, you needed the services of the carpenter. And so, you know, people said in Matthew, and just scrolling down through here, Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 53, it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence, and when he was come into his own country, taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, "Whence hath this man wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son?" So he mm-hmm. he was a popular and a productive member of society as the carpenter, the carpenter's son. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Joseph died. Jesus, being the eldest in the family, would have taken over the business, because they said, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us?" So we know that mm-hmm. Jesus had at least four half-brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Jude, Judas. Judas is the Jude of the little book of Jude. James is the James of the book of James. And then sisters means he had at least two sisters. Now, these were the children of Mary and Joseph. So they were half-siblings mm-hmm. to Jesus, because Joseph, of course, was not Jesus' biological father. He had no biological mm-hmm. father. And so they recognized who Jesus was, and also when he went to the wedding feast at Cana, remember his first miracle, changing the water to wine? Mm-hmm. You know, he was well-known. He was invited to the wedding ceremony. So he would have mm-hmm. been, for all intents and purposes, a productive, reasonably popular, and well-liked member of the community, and mm-hmm. and he just was not doing the miracles. You know, I've seen things where they suggest that as a boy he amused himself turning clay pigeons into live pigeons and all that. None of that is biblical. That's all just myth and legend. So you do get some ideas, and the biggest thing is that Jesus apparently, during the ages of 12 and 30, 30 being when he entered into his ministry, is that Jesus essentially lived the life of a normal Jewish young man growing up in Nazareth of Galilee. He was the eldest mm-hmm. child with at least four half-brothers and two half-sisters. He attended school and worshipped in a synagogue like the others would have. He worked alongside mm-hmm. his stepfather Joseph, learning to be a carpenter, building and repairing houses and furnishings and in and around Nazareth and the surrounding area. And sometime, possibly when Jesus was in his 20s, Joseph died, and he became the head of the household, took over the carpentry business. And it was about the time he turned 30, he laid it all down, turned the business over to his younger brothers, half-brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why in John chapter 7, it talks about his half-brothers not believing that he was anything. You know, then later on, another part, they even thought he was beside himself, meaning he'd gone crazy. And so they did not initially believe that he really was the Messiah. But, you know, they had to hear stories growing up. Joseph and Mary had to tell stories about the birth in Bethlehem and the shepherds coming. And then later, when Jesus was a baby and they had a house, and then the wise men, the Parthian, they're probably Parthian magi, showing up. And then having to flee into Egypt being warned that Herod wanted to kill baby Jesus. And all these things had to be stories and things that they heard. But they never mm-hmm. fully accepted him as the Messiah until after about the time of his crucifixion, around about the time of his crucifixion is when they realized who he was. And like I said, mm-hmm. James and Jude eventually, you know, became believers and actually contributed to the New Testament. So, mm-hmm. but think about it, how would you like to follow Jesus in school? You know, have him as your older
wow.
brother. You know, having your teacher say, "Listen, why can't you be like your brother Jesus? You know, he's perfect."
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course he's perfect. He's God. So, but it had to have been an interesting household to grow up in. And
absolutely, I know you want to get to Terry, but what about when he was a baby in the manger? Is there anything in the Bible about what he was doing? Because I know he's God. He could be more than one place. When he was a baby, is there anything in the Bible about what he was doing then, like in heaven?
Not really. I mean, and of course we understand because he's God, he exists everywhere at all times, but he focuses his existence in manifests himself in ways that we can see and relate to. And of course he was manifest in the form of a human being. And so as a baby, he would have grown just like a baby did. He would have been a baby. He would have had to have been cared for, fed, cleaned and everything like that, just like they would have done for any baby, because he put himself through the earthly existence so that he could experience the life of a man, so that he could be tempted in all points like as we are, like the Bible says, and yet without sin. So that when he went to the cross, he actually is the only person to live a perfect life, perfectly obedient to the law, never broke one iota of God's law. And so when he went to the cross, he was completely sinless. And so really no direct things about how he behaved as a baby or anything like that. But I was
wondering what he was doing since he's God. Was he somewhere else doing some good works, like up in heaven?
Well, I'm sure he was still doing many of the things that Jesus does, because the Bible says he upholds all things by the word of his power. So even though he was incarnated as a human being, he never ceased to be God. And so he never ceased to uphold all things by the word of his power, because if he had done that, everything would have flown apart. So, you know,
Thank
so he,
much.
Yeah.
How much you get to Terry? I don't want to.
Oh, yeah. I was going to give you the verse reference on that. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. So he was doing that all the time, that he was laying there in the manger
Hebrews
as a baby.
1:3? Did you say Hebrews 1:3?
Correct.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay, thank you for taking my call.
All right, and if anybody wants to follow up on that, check out my article, Jesus, the Silent Years, and you can find that through, search for it and try us out at livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, we've got Terry, who's also patiently waiting for us tonight. Terry, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Good evening. You got a busy night tonight, huh?
Yeah, that's good.
So welcome. Yeah, you got it. And like I said, I have a guest at 11 o'clock, so we'll have to go till then with you. So, but
sure.
Go ahead. We'll jump into it.
Yeah, I was going to bring up adultery, but I'm going to hold off on that until the next time.
All right.
One thing that I was studying was about little children.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever offends this little one who believes in me, should it would be better for him to be hung. by his neck than to offend them. And I often wonder, what did that exactly mean? Like I always thought it meant, you know, someone that touches a little child, like molestation.
Well, I think that could be part of it, because there's a couple of let's see, there's a couple of variations in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6. Jesus said, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Mark chapter 9, verse 41 says, "And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him than a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea." So pretty much the same there. Luke 17, 2, "Better for him than a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." So I guess the operative phrase there is offend. And when we look at that, let me just call this up here and see what I can find for us on the word offend there. Let's see, offend, and that, and I'm no Greek scholar, but that's basically, that's kind of interesting. It almost sounds like scandalize. Maybe that's where we get the word from. Scandalizo is what it looks like. Scandalizo. I guess is maybe what it is. Scandalizo means to entrap or to trip up, figuratively stumble, or to entice, sure, to sin, apostasy, or displeasure, to make, to offend. And it's an interesting thing, because a lot of times we use this in relation to abortion, but what you asked about and suggested about molestation of children and all of that, I think from the definition of the word that's translated as offend there, it sounds an awful lot like you could use that as part of that. But the overall thing that we see in these passages is God giving the reference there of to how much He loves the little children.
Right.
And it's kind of,
we need to be like little children.
Right. Right. And, you know, go ahead.
Like little children, but be humble like little children and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Which is so simple.
Mm-hmm. And that is a part of it. And, you know, in fact, I think some people would argue that, because it says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me," that he's not necessarily talking about babies, but that he's actually talking about young Christians here.
Right.
And, you know, in some case, I think this almost is a better way of looking at it, because of that phrase, "which believe in me." And you know, a lot of the early Christians, they really were persecuted heavily because of what? Because they believed in Christ. And these new Christians were putting faith in Christ as a baby Christian, as a little one in that sense, you could see how God would take a dim view of people who offended them, people who had tried to entice them into sin and things like that, because they're new Christians and they're just starting out. Like I said, I know a lot of people apply this to the babies as in small babies, but at the same time, that phrase, "little ones which believe in me," just looking here, I know we're coming up on the break here, but there are some commentaries that suggest that this is not infants, this is not small children, this is young believers, because, again, the idea, "which believe in me." So I think you could make a great case there. Better to offend new Christians. And there are people who lay in wait for them. You know, a new Christian,
to make a snare.
Yeah, and you know, think of how the devil tries to lead new Christians astray, tries to trip them up, lay traps for them. And I think of so many times, you know, when I was, you know, young in the faith, how I could have been ensnared in the false doctrines, in the false areas that would have caused problems and in my Christian walk. And I'm so thankful that God helped me to avoid those snares and those traps. And so Yeah, unfortunately, there are people out there laying in wait, trying to confuse, trying to, and of course, the devil wants them to do that. He wants them to get them off track. He wants them to be basically confused and essentially neutralized in their ability to witness. I was just thinking about that. I know we're coming up on the top of the hour here, but I was thinking of C.S. Lewis, his famous book, The Screwtape Letters. Right. And, as you're following through the Screwtape Letters, it's supposed to be a senior demon writing to a junior demon. And the first course of events was to keep somebody from belief. And then, of course, when somebody does believe, is to keep them from being effective in their witness and testimony so that they don't spread their belief to others. So I think that's kind of where we might be going with this.
When I first came to know the Lord, I was on, I always say, I don't know if this is the right phrase, on fire for the Lord. I wanted to go out and I wanted to save the whole world.
Yeah.
And so. Ended up falling pretty quick, and I ended up running into people that tried to tell me, no, you shouldn't be doing this and all that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it would appear that God takes a dim view of people who do that, trying to put a stumbling block and offend, these new Christians. So, good question for us tonight, and I appreciate that, Terry.
Yes.
So,
and we'll talk again next time.
All right. Thank you very much. And again, we are going to be taking a break here in just a minute. And in the next hour, we've got Michael Goldstein, who's going to be joining us. And we're looking forward to that, talking about what's happening in Israel, some information about things that are going on there, and also some other things happening with attacks on U.S. military in the area. And we'll see what we get into. So stay tuned. If you know somebody who's interested in that, tell them to listen to us tonight. And keep with us here. We're going to take a break and check us out online live with PastorAl.com. In 1776, a band of American patriots, many of them devout Christians, put King George and the British Empire on notice. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Bold words. Today we face another battle for our rights. Powerful forces are arrayed against us. We face spiritual wickedness in high places. Where are the American patriots willing to put the enemies of liberty on notice? Where are the pastors willing to stand alongside, saying, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand"? This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. It's time to put on the armor of God and stand.